Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 147 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and, oh boy, risk-taking her. This is going to be a really excellent episode. Stay tuned. Now, hang in there. And just know that this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Complete Women's Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate and review this wonderful upcoming podcast. Why? Because I love to hear from you. That's why. And that's just the best reason of all. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
So I'm trolling through the Wall Street Journal a little while ago, and I came across a pretty cool article that cited some academic research behind the link between distant dads and risk-taking girls. And I've got the researcher here to be able to help us understand what this connection is all about. So I'm so pleased to introduce all of our Her podcast listeners to Dr. Danielle Del Prior. See, I said it right, Danielle. Del Prior. Now, Dr. Del Prior is a postdoctoral fellow in psychology at the University of Utah, and her research applies natural and randomized experiments to examine the influence of fathers on their daughters' sexual behavior. Her work has been published in top journals in developmental and social psychology and has also been in the Wall Street Journal, Fatherly, the Psychologist and Scientific American. Oh boy, Dr. Del Prior, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Peek, and thank you for having me on today.
All right, now this is a really important topic. So I know for a fact that all of our podcast listeners are sitting at the edges of their little collective feminine chairs because they want to understand this. So your recent work examined the influence of fathers on their daughters' sexual behavior. First of all, why did you do the study? And then what did you find?
Sure. So to kind of give our recent work some context, and this work was conducted in collaboration with Dr. Bruce Ellis and Dr. Gabriel Schlomer. So to put some of this in context, there's been just decades of research that have shown that's shown a link basically between fathers and specifically father absence from the home and daughters' sort of sexual behavior. So what this research has sort of continued to find is that among girls who grow up without their biological father in the home, or even maybe with a biological father who's in the home but isn't really engaged or investing, they tend to begin having sex at a younger age. They tend to have a greater number of sexual partners. They're more likely to become pregnant as teenagers. All of this relative to girls who grow up with their father in the home who's present and engaged. So this research was really aimed at understanding, you know, is what fathers are doing in these homes really the key factor that's driving these differences? And if so, how are these relationships unfolding? So some of this past research was limited in that these assumptions or these conclusions were drawn based on comparisons between girls growing up without their father in the home against girls who are growing up with their father in the home. And it's possible that these girls vary in, you know, an infinite number of ways outside of what their dad is doing. So, you know, one way in which these girls differ is they might have different genetic sort of predispositions toward risky behavior. So girls with absent dads, these dads are more likely to potentially be genetically predisposed to risk-taking may be more likely to become absent fathers, more likely to pass these genes for risky behavior down to their daughters. So it could be that, you know, what dad's doing doesn't matter all that much. It's just, you know, shared genetics that's driving these differences. Or it could be differences.
Now, when you say shared genetics, what do you mean by that? What genetics are we talking about here?
Yeah, so I wouldn't be able to sort of point out specific genes, but there's a genetic component to aggressive, sort of hostile types of personality traits that are linked with risk-taking behavior. So fathers who have this sort of genetic profile, they're probably not going to be in the home investing in their children maybe the way a different father would be. And if he passes similar sorts of traits down to his daughters, it could be that it's, you know, really these genes that are driving this link between, you know, absent or low quality fathers and daughters engaging in these risky types of sexual behavior. So when we compare daughters across different families, we can't rule that possibility out.
I'm trying to connect the dots here. So what you're really saying is that the actual personality profile and the genetic basis for that of the actual father, it starts a domino effect. You're saying that it emanates from the father, but maybe there's also a bit of a genetic sharing with the daughter too?
So let's say, you know, there's a similarity in how dad's behaving and how daughter's behaving. So this past research kind of assumes, well, it's because dad's doing, you know, X that daughter's doing Y. But it could be that there's something that, you know, something like genes or something like an environmental factor that's sort of independently increasing the likelihood of both father absence occurring on one hand and daughter's risky early accelerated sexual behavior happening on the other hand. So maybe there's no, you know, maybe what dad is doing and whether he's in the home doesn't make a difference, because if he has these genes for, you know, that increase the likelihood he's going to be engaging in sort of antisocial, aggressive, risk-taking behaviors, and he passes those genes down to his daughter, you know, chances are she'll be more likely to be engaging in those types of behaviors as well. And this genetic link is something that varies across families. So, you know, it could be that in these father-present families, it's not that the dad is present that's really leading to these differences. It's more so the fact that genetically he's not really predisposed to engage in these risky types of behaviors. And those are the genes that are being passed down to daughter. So she's not really likely to be genetically predisposed to engage in those types of behaviors either.
That's really quite fascinating. I think a lot of people, you know, would assume that it was more of a sociocultural, you know, context. And that is, you know, having a, you know, that father figure in the in the family, or, you know, that type of role in the family is more stabilizing. But you're saying that there's a whole different layer of complexity to this, which involves the genetics of the father. So this is really quite fascinating. But what about that sociocultural role? Putting the genetics aside, what else do we know about just the sociocultural?
Right. So here's the thing. All of these factors are likely playing a role. The problem is that this past research, if we just compare, you know, daughters from, you know, father absent families against father present families, we can't conclude, you know, what the role of each of these factors is and what's driving these relationships. So my work is focusing more on sort of the social, environmental sort of factors in father absent homes, in homes characterized by low quality fathering, that could be sort of promoting these types of behaviors.
Yeah, you know, because I think, as you know, it's a real hodgepodge out there now. you know, this central family, you know, kind of model that we've had for a gazillion years. Well, that's turning out to be, how'd that work out? And, it's now just all kinds of things. It's sort of blended families. It's, one parent or the other type families, marriages, non-marriages. It seems almost like in dynamic flux. So what you're saying is extremely important. That's why I know that your work is pivotal and why the Wall Street Journal picked it up, because we're trying to understand, okay, given the fact that we have all these things going on in society right now, everything from same-sex marriages, so how about that father issue, right? Step-parents, what if the original father's genetics were a little on the funky side, but now he's out of the picture for whatever reason. Now you have a stepfather. Does that help?
Is there,
as it were, an epigenetic component to this? And explain what that means.
Yes. And the good thing about research is it allows us to, really do our best to pinpoint, the independent contribution of one of those factors. But, as we all should keep in mind, in real life, that's not how it works. And at any given moment, there's just an endless number of influences that, we have no idea are shaping our behaviors. And so that's another, I think, important thing to keep in mind. And even though this work focuses specifically on, father absence from, biological families, so I don't look necessarily at step families or same-sex couples or anything like that. So the results don't directly speak to those types of families, but I think the results and the implications could be informative across sort of family structure. And whenever you're ready,
there's got to be some kind of, if you have a, some stabilizing forces, whether it comes from mother or dad or mm-hmm. there could be another family member living with you. It could be a grandparent or whatever. I would think just common sense would tell me that would help somehow to whatever degree stabilize someone, even if they had, quite the risk-taking genetic profile. Don't you think?
I would think so. Again, this study doesn't test that explicitly, whether once that is gone, is there somebody else who's sort of playing a role? We don't look at that in the current study. But I think what we find in terms of some of the intermediate or intervening factors that may precede these types of risky behaviors, factors like parental monitoring, who the teens are associating with as friends, there are changes that can be made, or there are, modifications or preventative steps that could be taken, regardless of what the, specific family structure is. So if it's grandma who's doing more of the monitoring, I'm not sure that, it matters who's doing it. If somebody's monitoring these teens more closely, or they feel comfortable opening up to grandma, then I don't see why grandma couldn't play a really significant role in sort of interrupting the process that we identified.
How does divorce play in here? Because divorce itself is pretty stressful, needless to say, most of the time, especially when children are involved. So what's the interplay of divorce?
If I can, it might be easier to sort of explain the research design and why it's useful, and then what we found, because it allows us to sort of disentangle the effects of divorce and father absence against fathering quality. I think it'd be easier to kind of tie in divorce and father absence once I've set that up.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, great. So as I kind of alluded to just a little bit earlier, There are, you know, a number of ways that father absent or divorced families differ from intact or father present families, and those two families were sort of the, or that was sort of the approach that we were taking, or the angle that we were taking in this current research. So, in order to try to sort of assess what is the actual impact of, you know, growing up in a father absent home or growing up with a high or low quality father on daughters' outcomes, we had to be a little creative with the design of the study. And so we implemented what's known as a differential sibling exposure study design. And it sounds sort of complicated and jargony, but all this means is that we recruited adult sisters. They had the same mom, they had the same dad, they grew up in the same home, and their parents divorced while they're growing up. So these sister pairs are not going to systematically differ in terms of their genetic risk because they had the same parents. So older versus younger sisters, no systematic differences in terms of genetic risk for sort of risk taking behaviors. And they also grew up in the same, you know, family, the same neighborhood, had the same socioeconomic status, same cultural and religious background. So there aren't really important environmental differences between sisters in this family or in these types of families. So the main way that these sisters are going to differ is in the amount of time that they spent living with their father in the home. So older sisters in these families systematically are going to have lived with their father in the home for a longer period of time. In this sample, it was an average of 6 years relative to their younger sisters. So this means that they spent 6 additional years living with their dad in the home, being exposed to his behavior, as we'll see, for better or for worse. Younger sisters in these families, on the other hand, they spent less time living with their dad in the home, but this means that they received, on average, 6 additional years of father absence from the home. So they spent a greater portion of their lives living in a home without their biological father. So this design allows us to test what are the effects of, you know, this average difference of 6 additional years of exposure to the dad and his behavior, for better or for worse, and what are the relative effects of this additional exposure to growing up in a father absent home. Again, which is something that younger sisters experience for a greater period of time relative to their older sisters. So this design allows us to kind of test for those relative effects of, you know, the father, his quality and his behavior on one hand, which should influence older sisters more since they spent more time with dad, or what are the effects of growing up for a longer period of time in a father absent home.
You make me wonder, you know, what is the effect of a mom versus a dad? Again, you know, I'm just trying to get an understanding of how gender specific so much of this is.
Sure. So what we found with the dad is that what mattered more it mattered more what he was doing while he was in the home. So whether he was there for, or present or absent for these additional years, didn't matter so much as the quality of the relationship that he had with his daughter when he was in the home. So for our older sisters who spent, again, on average, 6 additional years living with dad in the home, if they were living with a, you know, high-quality dad, a dad that they had a really good relationship with, he was warm, he was supportive. For these girls, they received more monitoring. So their parents had a better idea what they were doing, who they were hanging out with, how they were spending their time. They were less likely to affiliate with peers who were engaging in risky behaviors, and they were less likely to be engaging in risky sexual behaviors themselves during adolescence. So they were less likely to be having unprotected sex.
I see. So that makes a lot of sense to me. So, all right. So what are the takeaways here? We have all of our wonderful podcast members out there who are wondering,
sure.
You know, what, what do I do with all of this information?
Right.
How do I make my own life better and that of my daughter too?
Sure.
You know, what's going on
sure,
with that?
Sure, sure. So what we really found is that a lot of this, you know, adolescent risky sexual behavior was being
yes.
driven by the uh-huh. changes in daughter's social environment. So the amount of parental monitoring they were receiving and who they were hanging out with in terms of their friendship groups. So I think the silver lining here is that regardless of whether daughters are growing up in single-parent homes or two-parent homes, step-parent homes, there are steps that parents or guardians can take to try to reduce their daughter's risky sexual behavior. So this would include monitoring, you know, how they're spending their time, who they're hanging out with, opening up the doors in terms of communication so that their daughters feel comfortable sharing this type of information with their parents or guardians, and encouraging them to hang out with more pro-social peers as opposed to peers who are engaging in these types of risky behaviors. So maybe peers that they encounter in their extracurricular activities or sports teams. So even though genes likely play some role in driving these types of behaviors, this research suggests that it's not the whole story. There are some aspects of the environment that we can try to change, and it might not be easy, but it's possible. And hopefully these changes can help prevent or reduce daughters' engagement in these risky types of sexual behaviors.
Gotcha. Gotcha. This is fantastic. And, you know, really at the end of the day, I mean, I hate to sound too overly simplistic here, but I will. And that is, you know, providing a home with love and support.
Right.
So that no matter what your, you know, genetic profile, at least you can optimize whatever genes you do have. And hopefully have a better outcome for it, because I just don't see how love and support on an ongoing basis can't help but improve
right,
the situation.
Right.
So is that too simplistic,
yeah.
or what do you think?
That's actually really consistent with what we found. And again, our focus was on fathers. So this isn't to say that mothers don't matter, but our effects were specific to the father, at least in terms of these specific outcomes. And what we found, you know, by far was that it was the daughters with the warm, supportive, affectionate fathers and the ones who spent a lot of time with this type of, you know, good dad, supportive dad in the home, they were engaging in the lowest levels of risky sexual behavior. And the daughters who spent a greater amount of time living with a, you know, cold, harsh, father in the home, they were engaging in the most risky sexual behavior in this particular sample. So here,
gotcha.
That warmth and supportive piece definitely played a key role in driving some of these effects.
Awesome. I just think that this is it's encouraging. You know, on the one hand, I think we learned some good science today, and that is genetics most definitely plays a role. But I always say that genetics loads the gun, but environment and lifestyle choices pull the trigger. And there's a huge impact of how you live, where you live, with whom you live, et cetera. And so, you know, taking all of this together, I think we would all agree that the better way out of this potential problem with risk taking and the rest of it is to just really have that monitoring, managing, guidance, vigilance, you know, kind of all wrapped up into one. And I like to, you know, bundle it up with a lot of love and support to make it work optimally. So, you know,
yes,
Dr. Del Pryor.
I don't think you could go wrong with that.
Well, yeah. So, Dr. Del Pryor, I really want to thank you so much for being on the HER podcast and really clarifying a lot of this new science about the link between distant dads and risk-taking girls. I know for a fact that our listeners have a lot of grist for their mill. They're sitting back thinking, saying, wow, that's a lot. And love and support is really the way it's going to go. So thank you again for being on the HERB podcast. We so appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Peek.
And everyone out there, after listening to this wonderful podcast, just remember to catch every episode of HER by just subscribing on iTunes and on our show page at RadioMD.com. And then right now, run on over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast, because I want to hear what you have to say about it. This was a really meaty one. Lots of great science and chewable bites for you to be able to run with and apply to your own life. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek and on Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And you can also check out our HER show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.